Can you keep a secret?
Lottie Pratt whispered under her bonnet brim into my ear.
Of course I can, I said. What's the matter?
She led me behind the pile of logs already gathered by sweating men. Back at the table, Maria Johnson and Eunice Robinson eyed us. Maria's new dress was blood red, with a white scalloped collar and black ribbons on the sleeves and bodice. Earlier, when Maria was out of hearing, little Elizabeth Fry said her father thought the dress dipped dangerously close to vanity. And if beauty wasn't enough, while the rest of us girls struggled with our puddings and hotchpots, Maria Johnson had brought three golden brown plum tarts. Lottie, who'd done all her father's cooking since her mother's death many years ago, had no reason to fear being outshone by Maria. Her yeasty rolls could rival even Goody Pruitt's baking. She pulled my ear close to her mouth. "I've got a fella," she whispered. I pulled away to see her face. She must be joking. But her cheeks were flushed and her eyes were bright.
"Who?"
I breathed.
"Shh, tell you later," she said. "Watch me tonight and guess, but swear you'll never speak a word of it."
My head spun with this information. From the corner of my eye, I saw you fasten a chain around a lock and wave to Leon Cartwright, who led the ox team.
"What do you mean, you've got a fella?"
Lottie's chest swelled with her importance.
"Says he's gonna marry me," she said. "He's given me ever so many kisses."
"Kisses?" I gasped. Lottie pressed her pink finger over my lips. You turned then and saw us whispering there, and straightened up and grinned. I had to take a deep breath. Lottie missed nothing. Her eyebrows rose. In a terrible instant, I realized you might be her fella.
"Is it Lucas, Lottie?"
She giggled.
"What if it is?"
Eunice and Maria were openly frowning at us now. Mrs. Johnson approached the food table, and Maria pointed her mother's gaze our way.
"I've got to know," I begged.
"Why? Is Lucas your fella?" I prayed my weakness wouldn't show.
"Don't tease me, Lottie," I said. "Just tell me."
A shadow passed over us both, and we looked up to see Mrs. Johnson's arms folded across her ample bosom.
"Hadn't you young ladies best get back to your tasks?" she said.
Lottie hurried off, but I trotted meekly back to the table.
"There's a good girl,"
Mrs. Johnson said, and patted my back.
"Lads'll want food soon, and you'll want to show off your pretty face and your pretty dish."
I turned to Mrs. Johnson in much astonishment, but she only winked back. Her daughter, Maria, was less patient with me.
"Run and fill these from the well."
She handed me two large tin pitchers. I didn't mind an excuse to step away, so I headed toward the new well Clyde had dug. I dropped the bucket down and listened to it splash. When I was sure it had sunk deep enough to fill, I leaned all my weight against the crank to pull it up again. This pulley was more stubborn than some, and I struggled to complete each turn.
"Let me help,"
said a voice. Someone beside me took hold of the crank.
It was you.
I wanted to run, but I had pitchers to fill, and how would that look if I bolted away? I hesitated, with my hand still on the wooden handle, and you smiled at me.
"Here, we'll do it together,"
you said. With your hands overlapping mine, you rotated the well pull effortlessly. My arms followed the motions to no useful purpose. I was sure my cheeks must have gone cherry red. You were almost a man now. It had happened to you so suddenly. You brought up the bucket and poured water into my pitchers. Then you offered me a cold drink from the cup hooked to the bucket rim. And there was your boy smile in a broader, more angular face. I was so nervous. My arms shook to hold the pitchers. You took one of them and carried it back with me to the table.
You've grown taller, Lady Bird.
That's what Mother says, I managed to say. She's had to make me a new dress to fit. I wanted to die of shame, mentioning the fit of my dress to any young man, and worse, to you. I floundered for rescue. She made me do a great deal of the stitching myself. You glanced sideways at my gray dress, then up at me.
Looks like you've made a handy job of it.
We reached the table and set the water down. Maria Johnson saw you and twined her bonnet strings between her thumb and finger. Dinner's not for an hour yet, Mr. Whiting, so you'll have to come back then, she said. We can see you're working up an appetite. Your gaze lingered on Maria's dark curls poking out from under her starched white bonnet. Then you tipped your broad hat at all the girls and strode off to the log pull. Maria and Eunice both watched you go. I let out a long breath and leaned against the rough-hewn wall of the Aldrices' new home. Lottie caught my eye and smiled, and I sighed in great relief. I knew then that you were not her fella. That was the last conversation you and I had, and the last time I saw Lottie smile.